Is there anybody in the house this morning that can say, I can sing of the goodness of God? Amen. Boy, he's an awesome God. He's been so good to us, hasn't he? And I love that song so much. I asked Shiloh, I said, would you just praise the Lord this morning and sing that song? I just needed to hear it. Amen. Hey, his goodness, it said, is running after me. He's running after me. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And it said that he's also my friend. I'm glad to know that I am a friend of God. Amen. Amen. And I'm so thankful this morning. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Are you here this morning to worship and praise the Lord? That's the reason we come this way. Amen. Amen. Father, we love you. Lord, we want to stop just for a moment and just say how much we praise you and how much we thank you. And Lord, we're here to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we're so glad that your goodness is running after us. Lord, thank you this morning for a song that lifts our hearts and causes us to raise our hands. And we, Lord, in our spirits, Lord, we just shout unto you this morning because you're worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that we can already feel here today. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, would just be in the service. Lord, I pray that you'd be in the song service. Lord, I pray that you'd be in the message this morning. Lord, I pray most of all that your Holy Spirit would so fill this place today that if there's someone here today that's never accepted you as their personal Savior, may this be the day that they'd come to realize that. Lord, they'd come to know you as the Lord of their life, that they'll too be able to say, all my life, Lord, you have been faithful. And all my life, Lord, you've been so good. Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for what will be accomplished here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, choir, would you stand with me this morning? Turn over to page 177 and let's sing, Are You Washed in the Precious Blood of the Lamb? Sing this morning. Everyone sing, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Good to see everybody this morning. Everybody doing okay? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning. And Calvary Baptist Church right here. All right. But let me mention a few things and just doing things a little different this morning. I want to mention a few people to pray for, and then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen, of course. And Miss Krista Sapp, she's going to go be having surgery on the 22nd of this month. And so let's remember Miss Krista. She's having a type of hip surgery. They're repairing some cartilage in there. And this is, of course, Don and Carla Rich's daughter, Krista. And good to see Miss Shirley with us and Brother James this morning. And doing better and better each day. And Miss Shirley had a stroke. Of course, she went back to the doctor and had an X-ray of some kind of test, and it said she had a stroke. She didn't realize it, but I'm glad she didn't realize it, and I'm glad she's on her road to recovery and doing better from that. And of course, good to see Brother James as well. And so let's continue to remember them, though, as they get better, both of them. Miss Connie Teague, as she continues to recover at home, and Miss Diane Ely, as she continues to go for treatment for her infection. Of course, let me just say this, that this infection that they found was a result of the back surgery that she had. We don't know if the back surgery that she had, if it malfunctioned, or if she went back to work too soon and, you know, caused it to malfunction. But it was through that second back surgery is when they actually found an infection that she's had for, I think, a number of years. And so, hey, listen, sometimes when things don't go the way we want them to go, there's a reason sometimes. The Lord, He has a way of bringing things to the surface. And so, just remember Miss Diane Ely, Brother Randy, Jim Jr. is still recovering with his foot surgery. Leonard and Dolores Palmer got word last week that Brother Leonard is coming off all of his trial medication, and they're just going to deal with things as they are, trust the Lord with Brother Leonard's life. And, you know, they wanted him to go from South Carolina to Atlanta, back and forth, that car ride, and with cancer and just low energy and fatigued and lethargic. It's just not the path that the doctor suggested, nor well, Brother Leonard didn't want that either as well. So, but let's remember Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Good to see Miss Claudia with us this morning. I know she's been struggling for some time, but she's here, and so it's good to see you, Miss Claudia. Continue to remember my grandparents as well, my grandmother specifically, as she'll have back surgery one day soon. But just ask that you would remember her in prayer. I want to say it's so good to have some relatives in the house this morning. Got my brother Chris with us, and my nephews, Gabe and Grant. And just about the whole family looks the same. And but so good to have you guys. I ran into my nephews, Lily and I did, actually at the gym, back in the gym. And so I'm trying this gym thing again. But ran into them at the gym, was able to hook up and talk, and reconnecting with my brother came out of that. And so we've just had a great weekend together, me and my brother. And so good to have you guys here with us this morning. Make yourself at home. All right, you glad you're here this morning? Say amen. Amen. Well, let's pray, and we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for all things, God. I just pray that you would bless the service today, Father. I pray you'll continue to manifest your presence, allow peace to be in the hearts and minds of all of us that are here. And Lord, I pray you'll bless this offering. Let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church, and also our missionaries at home and abroad. Lord, we've all come together today because we all just stand in need of a blessing. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll do that, Lord, that you would speak today. And may we all be encouraged and have direction in our lives by the time we leave this morning. And if there's someone here that isn't saved, that doesn't know you personally, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. Bless those that are watching on Facebook and listening online. We love you today. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, guys. So.
It's been 3 days since heaven watched their Prince of Glory die, and his followers are in mourning, for in the tomb their Savior lies. But the Son had compassion. He said, Father, I'll be your man. And angels rise in anticipation, for the Son is coming. Listen to this. It's been 3 days since heaven watched their Prince of Glory die, and his followers are in mourning, for in the tomb their Savior lies. But at the screams, I've lost my hope, and angels rise in anticipation, for the Son is coming home, and there he comes, and he's got the blood that he shed on Calvary. You may have noticed we've sang some songs already about the blood, and for the next couple of weeks, as we get closer to Easter, we're going to try and do some songs that would put our thoughts and our minds upon the cross, our thoughts and our minds upon the blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and I'm glad to know this morning that I have been covered by his blood, washed in his blood, and you pray for us this morning as we sing about you can't cross the bloodline.
seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith and can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory.
I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. 'Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, 'cause I do believe you're bound to lose.
I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. 'Cause remember, just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. 'Cause remember, stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. 'Cause remember, you can't cross the
Praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus. The devil may stare and he may fight, but he's going to lose this battle tonight. I don't always win all the battles, Chris, but some of them I do. And devil's going to lose today, amen? And he may rant, he may rave, but one day he's going to be in his own lake of fire. Again, it's so good to be here this morning. Good to see everybody. And again, I just want to acknowledge those who faithfully watch on Facebook Live every Sunday. We recognize you. We see your comments. Thank you for doing so. And it has been a big thing ever since COVID started, you know, Facebook Live and broadcasting your services. And I, you know, even beyond that, I get so excited when it becomes to be preaching time, because there are the services are being streamed in other countries from our church. I've had pastors in Africa say, "Hey, pastor, I enjoyed the service." That's pretty encouraging. And just so thankful to be in this position, to be able to stand and preach, be your pastor. What an honor and a joy it is. I just love you from my heart to your heart. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter number 17. Or turn on your devices and scroll in your Bible app. Or follow along on the screens. However you learn best is what we want this morning. Certainly not preaching anything I've never preached before. It has been a while since I've shared out of 1 Kings 17. And I believe it was back in 2020, actually, when COVID started. But the Lord has laid this particular message on my heart, and I feel like it's so relevant for the time a lot of us are going through. I say us, I include myself. Many people are going through different things, different situations. They don't understand. And so this morning we want to be able to be a blessing. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read verse number 1 down through verse number 7 out of 1 Kings 17. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you this morning for all things, the good, the bad, even the ugly. Because as believers, Lord, we know that you're working all of these good, bad, and ugly things together for good. Lord, you have predetermined that we will look like Jesus at the end of this thing. So, Father, I just pray for the next few moments we would give you our undivided attention. I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Gird up the loins of my mind. Protect the minds of the people that are here watching online, listening on the live stream, that we may glean some truths this morning and find direction in our lives. We love you today. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded," notice that word, "commanded." That's where you want to be, where God commands his blessings in. "And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee," and notice this word, "there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. I want to stop reading there. That's 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1 down through verse number 7. By way of introduction this morning, giving you a little background of what's going on here, what's taking place, we have God putting Elijah right before King Ahab. God had Elijah there. He was standing before him, this wicked and lawless king, in verse number 1. Notice if you would. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab." So we have the prophet standing before this wicked king. Now, Elijah was forecasting the weather. He was Elijah, the weatherman at this point. He gave a drought prediction. Notice what he says at the other end of that verse. "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And this drought, this weather forecast, this prediction that the prophet makes. This was ultimately and would be a period of time in the northern kingdom of Israel where there would be no rain. It would serve as a form of discipline from God to His people for their worship of Baal. We know that Baal, he was a false idol. And so because of this worship of Baal and because of listening to this wicked king Ahab, God is forecasting a drought. But later on in chapter number 18, you don't have to turn there or read there. I'll just give it to you. Verse number 36 through 38, we have Elijah calling down fire from heaven. And he's on top of Mount Carmel. And this proves that Elijah serves the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he was the one and only and true God. It wasn't Baal. The contest was whatever God answers by fire. It wasn't Baal, but it was God. And so Elijah, he calls down fire from heaven, top of Mount Carmel, proving that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was indeed the one and only true God. But I want you to listen to this. But in between these two large moments in Elijah's life, standing before wicked Ahab and predicting drought, preaching, so to speak, to this wicked king, and this other monumental moment of Elijah calling fire down from heaven, in between these two large moments in Elijah's life, God pulled him aside from all of the glitz, from all of the glamour of the ministry, and secluded him. He secluded him behind the scenes in the back country by a brook in order to show him some really special things. I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 2 and 3. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Verse number 4. And it shall be. That means something's about to happen by the brook Jordan. By the brook Cherith, by Jordan, something's going to happen here. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I want to call your attention specifically to verse number 4, to that very last word, there. The there he's talking about is the brook Cherith. And God is calling him off the main stage to a secluded place, this brook called Cherith. And he says that it's going to be there is where you're going to drink. It's going to be there where I've commanded the ravens to feed thee. It's going to be there where I'm going to hide you. This is my will for you, Elijah, to pull you away out of the community, out of the view of people, away from Ahab and his men, and tuck you away for a while because I have some very special things to show you there. The word there simply means a particular place. With that said, this morning, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, a place called there. A place called there. There is simply God's will for your life. There is simply God's best for your life. There isn't always a crowded place. Sometimes there is a very lonely place. There isn't always a popular place. There isn't always a place that feels good. And again, sometimes being right dab smack in the will of God, that place can be a very lonely place. It can be a place of struggle. I think a lot of times we give the devil too much credit. Some things start going wrong in our life, and oh, Brother Justin, the devil's after. And listen, I'm not making fun of that, because sometimes the devil is truly after us. And he has his demonic dominions and all of that. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and all of those things. But I think sometimes the Lord this morning pulls us aside. And I think he ministers to us secretly and personally. And he wants to instill some things in us. And again, sometimes we feel like, well, I miss God. Or sometimes we feel like, where is God? And sometimes we feel like, well, I'm not doing nothing for the Lord. Can I tell you? There is a place called there, and it is God's perfect will for your life, and sometimes it's out of sight. Sometimes it's backstage stuff. Sometimes it's lonely places. Sometimes it's those places that are not popular. But there is the best place to be. That's where you want to be, is God's will for your life. That place called there. It's the best place for you to be. The there of God is the safest place for you to be. I believe this with all my heart. If God's will is for me to be on the front line in Afghanistan shooting a machine gun, that's His perfect will for my life. I would be safer there than I would be here in this safe, secure church. That's how much I feel that the will of God is the place for me and you and I to be. That's the safest place for us to be, is the will of God. It's the best place for us to be, is in the will of God. We want to be there because it's there where we're positioned to hear from God. We're able to receive from God, and we're able to have longevity and stay at a place God wants us, but on the same token, we have a readiness and a courage to leave a place if God wants us to, and lift anchor and go by His command. But we've got to be there. Are you there this morning? Are you where God wants you to be in your life? Are you there? Well, this morning I want to mention and share just three simple things about this place called there that I believe will encourage us to follow God even when it don't make sense. Number one, I want you to notice in verse number 2 and 3, the place called there was a place of protection. Notice what he says in verse number 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And so we see that the Lord is getting ready to hide Elijah, to hide him. God was choosing to hide Elijah at a safe place temporarily. This is a temporarily hiding place. And he was hiding him away from Ahab, of course, by this brook called Cherith. You can only imagine how Ahab disliked Elijah for his predictive forecast. No rain in the land. That would crush the morale in the land and among all the people. And so this prophecy of no rain, I'm sure it really rubbed Ahab the wrong way when he stood before him and told him there's going to be no rain these years. Also, I want you to notice that Ahab said that Elijah was a troublemaker. Look at chapter 18, verse number 17. And he answered, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Ahab said, You're a troublemaker. Well, you see, Elijah's only trying to do what's right. Elijah was just trying to live for God, and all of a sudden, he's the troublemaker. Do you know who this country is calling the troublemakers? Us Christians. Because we make a stand, and we take a stand, and we believe in God and Jesus, and we believe in doing right, and we believe in one man and one woman are to be married, and all of that, and no mixed marriages, and we don't, you know, there's so many things that goes along with that. We're the ones that's creating all the trouble. Well, Ahab said that Elijah was a troublemaker. Elijah was simply against everything that Ahab was for. And so because of this, God says, I see it fit that I move you off the scene for a while. I'm going to put you by this brook in the backcountry, secluded place, out of sight of Ahab and the community for your own safety, Elijah. Let me say this morning. I'm so glad for the times in life where God hides us out at places for good purposes. We may not realize it at the time that it's a good thing, but God has a way of protecting us from things that maybe we would do that would be detrimental. We want life to be flying by. We want the wheels to be turning. We want things to happen, and yet we're at a stuck place. We're at a place that's not moving fast. Why, God? Why aren't things happening? Have you ever considered? God may have a door closed in your life for protection. For protection. And you may not like where you're at right now in life. I may not like at times certain places where God has me in life. Maybe you wish you were further along, accomplishing, achieving, moving forward in life, but you're at a standstill. Please, church, this morning, consider that God may be protecting you. Turn, if you would, to the left, to Exodus 13. I love this verse, verse number 17. Exodus 13, verse number 17, listen to this. So we know that Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. God had chosen Moses. Moses, oh, I can't do it. Guess what? Moses is doing it. And so here they go after 400 years of Egyptian bondage. They're wounded. They're battered. Their self-esteem is under their feet. And all of these things, they are experiencing, and so now they are trying to get to the promised land. Verse number 17, Exodus 13, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Listen to this. Although it was near, that implies to me that God could have led them the short, fast way to the promised land. He could have. He did not, although it was near. Instead, it would take 40 years to get there. And Moses didn't even get to get in. And so all of these things taking place, my goodness, why in the world? The Israelites were in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. Why in the world would God not send them the short way? They're ready for rest. They're ready for healing. They're ready to just enjoy the fruits of the land. Why in the world would God not just send them the short way? Have you ever wondered why God doesn't give shortcuts? Have you ever wondered why things just prolong and they go on and on and on and on? Here we have a situation where God did not send them the short way, and I'll tell you why. Verse 17, middle ways through, "For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." The people of God were not ready to face men of war. They were coming out of slavery. They had been in shackles and chains 400 years. And here the Philistines are big strapping men. That's where Goliath came from. He was born from. Men of war and men of renown and all of those things. And God said, "Man, I want to get you there as quick as possible, but I just want you to know I'm looking out for you. You just got to trust me on this. We're not going to go." And listen, it was only about a six-day trip through the land of the Philistines. God said, "You're not ready to handle the short way." The Bible says in verse 18, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt." Why didn't God lead them the short way? Well, I could just give you a couple of things right on the surface here. He wanted to show them His power. It's why He led them the long way. What happens next? Well, they get to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's on their tracks. All right. Pharaoh changed his mind. "I'll let them go, but I want to get them." Just like the devil, he'll let you go for a little while, but he'll come back after you. So they got to a dead end. God instructed Moses to hold up that rod, and you know the story. The Red Sea was parted, went back on two heaps. The children of Israel walked up on dry ground. They made it over. The horse and his rider, the waters were closed up and sank the enemy. God was showing the children of Israel one reason why He didn't take them the short way, because He wanted them to know that He can divide waters in their life. Split those waters. And listen, there's times in my life where I'm like, "God, why haven't You cleared this up yet? Lord, why haven't You changed this situation yet? Lord, me and my family, we want to be at this specific place and area in our life, and we want to be able to do this and do that. Why, God? Why, God, did our daughter have to have back surgery? And why does she have two rods and 19 screws in her back?" I'll tell you why this morning. God could allow that girl back there to have a straight spine born with that, but He wanted to show us His power. Would I have chosen a different way? Absolutely, I would have chosen a different way. But let me remind you what the Scripture says over in Isaiah. God makes the crooked things straight. Sometimes God don't give you shortcuts because He wants you to see His power. Amen this morning. Amen. Boy, I can't slow her down, Brother Brian. I can't slow Lily down. She's like, we're in that pickup truck. She's like, "Whoo! Where are we going next?" I mean, she's running around. We're at the gym. The only reason why I'm at the gym, I will say, is because of her. All right? I still walk my neighborhood. Y'all have heard the story until you're sick of it. Diet, up and down, all that. Still on my diet. All that good stuff still going on. But she's at the gym. She's running on the treadmill. Just had back, major, a surgeon's hands was on her spine back in December. Now she's running. She's like, I mean, she's doing crunches. My goodness. What is that? I could sit over here and sulk for the rest of my life that my daughter has to have a card every time she goes to a metal detector. Says she has titanium rods in her back. Or I could say that I wouldn't have chosen it. My wife wouldn't have chosen it. My daughter wouldn't have chosen it. And I know there's some here this morning. You're going through some things that you would not have ever chosen. But if it was not for that, you would not have seen God's almighty power. That's why God don't give shortcuts, because He has some things He wants to show you. Make our way back to 1 Kings, if you would. 1 Kings 17. There's a place called there, and it's a place of protection. Sometimes the theirs of God are secluded. They're obscure places, but they're for our protection. But I want to encourage you this morning, don't lose heart. At the right time, God will release you, and you'll be able to call fire down from heaven. Number two, not only the place called there was a place of protection, but the place called there was a place of provision. A place of provision. Look at verse number 4, 1 Kings 17. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. Can you imagine? Ah! 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 Elijah probably at first time, wah, wah. And then all of a sudden, boom, a piece of flesh, man. You know what I'm saying? Flo's filet from Longhorn. And that honey wheat bread with it. Huh? I mean, every day. And Elijah, oh, I'm thirsty. Whew, that's some good food. But here's a brook. And he's drinking. That's the place of provision. There is the place of provision. So God says, I will provide drink and food there. Look what it says again in verse 4. And it shall be. The theirs of God is laid with promises of provisions. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I wonder how all that went down. God commanded the ravens. Well, how did he do that? You know? Birds! Species of ravens. Go find the flesh, drop it off at the brook Cherith for Elijah. I mean, think about this whole process. The birds had to get the flesh. The birds had a job. Man, God just showed me something. Praise the Lord, we all got a job, Chris. And you know what, Brother Allen? I don't care if God has me being a raven, fly, go hunting down some flesh for some provision for somebody, or if he has me being Elijah or something, or another position. It doesn't matter. God, that raven was being used by God. He had to wake up in the morning and say, okay, what am I going to do today? Am I going to go look for that flesh that God wanted me to? He created me. He provides for me. In fact, the Bible says that, you know, the birds of the field, they don't even worry about their food. So here is a fat raven filled with plenty. And he's thinking to himself, what am I going to do? Am I going to serve God or keep heaping up the blessings? He said, well, I'll serve God today. And he gets up and he goes, he hunts on that flesh. And boy, about the time he found the flesh, he got excited. Man, I got some flesh just like God wanted me to do. Now I'm going to go deliver it. Oh, oh. And poof, drops it and flows down right by hungry Elijah. Man, I want to be used by God, don't you? I don't care if it's bringing somebody a meal. I don't care if it's preaching a message. I don't care if it's giving a homeless person $5 in a tract, inviting them to Calvary Baptist Church. Listen, I don't care what it is. I want to be, if a bird can be used, surely I can be used. Anybody that has an excuse that God can't use you, you're wrong. God can use you this morning. And so we see that here. We see that the bread and the flesh and all those good things start to happen. Verse number 4, 5, and 6. Let me say this. If Elijah was not there, someone else would be getting his meals. The Lord said, It shall be. And you know what God says He means, and He means what He says. He says, I've commanded, I've given a mission. There is an operation taking place. Elijah, you may not like it, but you need to go hide yourself because that's where the provisions are going to be. If Elijah didn't go, somebody else will be heaping up his blessings. Can I say that if we want to reap the benefits of serving God and be where His provisions are at, then we need to be where He wants us to be. I don't want to be somewhere else out of the will of God, somebody heaping up my blessings. Amen? God has blessings for you this morning. He has provisions for you this morning. You need strength and energy. He's your God. He's your man. He's your guy. He will give that to you. Whatever you need assistance and direction in your life. Make sure that you have time with Him and pray and study your Bible and surround yourself with brothers and sisters in Christ. I promise you, you will find there in your life. So if Elijah wasn't there, someone else would be getting his meals. Growing up, did mama ever take your toy and give it to your brother? And it was all because of your bad attitude? Huh? Any mamas in here ever have to take a toy? Okay. Let me speed it up. Any mama in here or parental figure ever have to take away your young person's cell phone? Yeah? iPad? Nintendo? I better be specific. That was way back in the day. Nintendo Switch? What is it? We had Game Boy and stuff growing up. Man. Why would the parent take it away and give it to the sibling? Because you got a bad attitude, mister, and I'm giving it to your brother. I don't want God to take my blessings and give them to somebody else because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do or I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Amen? I want everything God wants me to have, and if He doesn't want me to have it, I don't want it. I don't want to have to learn that if He don't want me to have it, I don't want it. I just want to take Him at His word. If I don't have it, He don't want me to have it. So, verse number 5 and 6, we know that Elijah obeyed and enjoyed the blessings of God there. And so the place called there was a place of provision. No matter how obscure, difficult, or challenging your life may be right now, if you are doing what you're supposed to do, God will provide. Even if He has to command a bird to fly it in. Listen, church, we're either going to believe that and move forward or not. Let me give you a third thing and we'll be through. Not only the place called there was a place of protection, the place called there was a place of provision, but then the place called there was a place of patience. Look at the story doesn't stop there. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass after a while, oh me, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, I don't know how long after a while is specifically. You know, in the Bible talks about after a while, man, it could be 1,000 years. You just don't know. But there's reference in verse number 1 to how long that while was. He says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years. But according to my word. Verse 7, and it came to pass, after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So perhaps Elijah was behind the scenes, hiding out, obscure, possibly even wondering, we don't know what God is doing, but nonetheless, he was there possibly for some years. For some years. How long have you been where you're at? And listen, I'm trying to encourage you that being where you're at might be the place God wants you at so that he can continue to show you special things and move you forward after a while. After a while. I want you to see something. I said that this place called there was a place of patience because truly it was. All right. Verse number 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Let me just stop here right quick. I could only imagine what Elijah is thinking. God, you said, did God not say, and it shall be, you will drink of that brook? Why is it drying up? Why is it drying up? Has God ever seemed to, key word, seemed, has God ever seemed to contradict himself in your life? God, you told me to go there, but there was chaos there. God, you told me to go here, but it was good for a while, but now it's drying up. God, the money's drying up. The friends are drying up. The car's breaking down. We owe mortgage. You're backing up. Things are back. Lord, we know you told us to go there. Why in the world is things like they are? I'll tell you why. Because God is allowing us to exercise patience. Patience. And I'll tell you why. Because if you look in verse number 8, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. So however long Elijah was by that brook, when he drank from the brook, ate from the food the ravens brought, and to the point where it dried up, we don't know how long. Could have been some years. He could have been sitting there looking at that dry brook for months or years even after God provided for so long. He could have been there for years looking at a dry brook. But he didn't go nowhere until he heard from God. He stayed. The Bible says, verse number 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Listen to this, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. This is the second command God is commanded to Elijah. I've commanded the ravens to feed you at Cherith. Period. That's it. You're not getting any more instruction until I tell you. Don't leave. Don't go. I don't care if the brook dries up. I don't care if the food stops. You stay right where I tell you until I speak to you plainly as I did the first time. Now, after a season of exercising patience, seemingly God has contradicted himself. Same thing with Abraham and Isaac. God promised a son. Now God is requiring that Abraham lay down his son Isaac. God, are you contradicting yourself? No. We know at that very moment when Abraham was getting ready to lay the dagger down into his son, that he looked up and behind him there was a ram caught in the thickets by its horns. God made a substitute. God provided, and the name of that place was Jehovah Jireh. What God is doing in your situation and mine, when we want to quit and we want to give up, we don't feel like God is nowhere around, he is stretching our patience and we are growing deeper in an intimate level with him, because not only does he want us to know him as Savior, but he wants us to know him as Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Be patient, child of God. Be patient. The same word you got from God to get you where you're at now, is God giving you that same word to leave? Is he? If not, don't leave. I know it's tough. I know it might get dry. And I know our tongue may stick to our cheek and don't know what to say and don't know what to do, need a spiritual drink. But God, I'm so convinced God is big enough. He is big enough to speak to me. And listen to this. He commanded a widow woman. This widow woman didn't have Nathan. She was preparing a meal for her son to eat, and they were going to die. Yet God said, I want you to go there because I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. And that widow woman didn't even know till he got there. But he said, thus saith the Lord, you're not going to starve. There's going to be plenty. She trusted in what he said. She gave him what they had, their least little bit, what they had, and sustained the prophet. God has, listen, I'm telling you, there has been times where God has used the meager, the meek. God has used the unlikely to bless me and my family. God has used those base things of the world. God has used some things. God has used some people that other people would write off and say, oh, no, there's no way that God would use them and all of this. No, God has showed himself strong to my family during the years. And he has used, while others who had plenty thumbed their noses, it's your fault, you do what you need to do. He has used people in poverty to be a blessing to us. Don't underestimate who God can use to sustain you. I just want to be used by God this morning. Don't you? I want to follow His lead. Sometimes He leads us. Sometimes He leads us through rivers. Sometimes He leads us through valleys. Sometimes He leads us through places unknown to us. Are you navigating through uncharted waters this morning? If you are, I encourage you, when we give an invitation, to come down front. Nobody's pointing fingers. There's no judgment at this church. We're all here to just get help. If you need to come pray or want to pray, it may be unrelated to this message. You may just want to come and say, thank you, God, for your blessings on me. Whatever it is this morning, you can come. I pray there's liberty for you to come. And if you're not saved and you do not know if you die today, heaven will be your home, come meet with me. Let's talk about it. God just wanted me to share with you this morning, there's a place called there. And there is the place of protection. There is the place of provision. And there is the place of patience. He'll turn the water off in one place, and He'll turn it on in another place. I mean, and if you keep on reading, you'll find out, Chris, guess what? Boys, guess what? After that hardship, He went on top of Mount Carmel and called fire down from heaven. Then He ran away from a woman, but we ain't going into that, okay? That's another message. All right, let's stand to our feet this morning. Hey, we're all up and down in life. Father, I just pray that You use the message this morning to the heart that needs it the most. I pray You'll give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. If you need to come, you please come. God can meet you here. He will meet your need. God will allow you to call fire down from heaven one day. Would you come?
Have thine own way.
Please feel free. Please feel free. If you feel led to come, you come. If not, just pray for these that are here. Spiritual hospital this morning. That's what we are.
Mold me and make me after thy will.
Come on down. Come on down. Maybe you want to come down and help pray for somebody that's already down here. That'll be good too. We like to pray for people around here. Having a hard time this morning. Come on down. Let's pray together this morning. That's why we're here. Don't let anybody pray by themselves. You come on down and pray. You see somebody praying by themselves, please come and pray with them.
Search me and try.
It feels so good to feel a hand around your neck when you need it the most. Amen? It does. It does. We're all in this thing together, church. You're going to make it. I promise you, you're going to make it. God wants to show you some things. You're going to be okay. continuing to sing and play as they're here.
Have thine own way.
If you died today, would heaven be your home? Do you know that? If you're not sure, please come talk to me. Talk to one of our leaders around here. You are not promised another heartbeat. You've heard the gospel. You've heard it. And you know what God wants you to do. And it's my prayer that you would want to do that, whoever you are. Let's finally get that thing settled. No rush. If you need to come, you come.
Touch me and heal me. Savior divine.
Still playing and singing as these are praying. A little bit of instrumental as these play. Pray. Thank the Lord for Him working this morning and what He's done already. So glad where two or three are gathered in His name. There He is right in the midst. And the Lord is just as real in a church our size as a megachurch. So very thankful for His presence this morning, for who He is, for what He does. And Brother Allen, do we have choir practice today? Or? Okay. As these are finishing up here, choir practice will be today at 4 o'clock. It's getting close to Easter time. And I do want to say that we are having an Easter offering, our annual Easter offering, on Easter Sunday morning. We will be receiving in honor and thankfulness of the Lord's resurrection. We do that for Easter and for Christmas, for the Lord being born and for the Lord rising. That's pretty good. Dying on the cross and being buried and rising again from the grave. We will have some, Christy, you say we have some envelopes, or we will have some envelopes. We will have some envelopes. Miss Catherine will have those and here soon. And seems like there was something else I was going to say. We are having, I'll mention it later, don't worry about it. I'll mention it tonight. I want to get all the details first. All right. You glad you came this morning? Say amen. All right. Well, if that's all, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Everybody be safe. I think it's raining outside, and I think it's going to all day. Just be safe on the roads. And Lord willing, we'll be back tonight at 5, and we're going to be in the Song of Solomon tonight. And Song of Solomon is a great book. There is a specific place in there where it talks about springtime. And it talks about how certain things happen at spring. And so we want to mention that. We've shared some things out of that before, a while back, but we feel led to share it again tonight in a different way. So don't miss that. All right. That's all we have. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Jeff Hodges, would you close us out?